You're listening to 94.6 and Let's Talk Business with me, Susan Smith. Coming up now for interview, we have Peter van der Westhuizen. And Peter is a professional speaker and trainer who has kindly agreed to speak to us today. Peter, you grew up in South Africa and in a small mining community. Can you tell me what it was like growing up in such a place?
Well, the benefit of growing up in a small mining community is that you are kind of removed from the big city hustle and bustle. So it's a very tight-knit community. It's almost like a small town where almost everybody knows everybody, and you know, you basically know what's going on in the community. The nice thing about that is that because everybody knows everybody, you can run around without the fear of getting lost or getting into too much trouble, because there's always somebody that knows who you are and where you live. So if you end up getting lost, even from a very young age, you can still find somebody that will know where you live. So that gives you a lot of freedom to move and run around and actually explore. So I guess that's where my adventurous side was born.
So just leading on to my next question there is, you were shy as a child. Do you feel that you spent a lot of time dreaming about what you wanted to be as a result of that?
Definitely. You know, as I said, or as you would have read in my bio, is that I'm the youngest of five children. And because of that, you know, I spent a lot of time on my own, because all my siblings are quite a bit older than I am.
Okay.
And I spent most of my time in the eucalyptus forest around the town. And I enjoyed that because I could live out my imagination and, you know, just explore things. So I was very shy, and it was very difficult for me to actually overcome that. And I always had these big dreams of becoming, my very first dream was probably to become an architect, because I'm very good with images and putting a 2D image into a 3D project, and vice versa, you know, taking something 3D and putting it into a 2D drawing. So that my first dream was to become an architect, and my second big dream, of course, was to become a fighter pilot.
Nice.
It's quite varied, but yeah, the shyness I was something that I really had to work hard to overcome, and it didn't happen easily, I can tell you that.
I'd well believe it. Can you talk to me about your time in the military? Do you feel that this enhanced your confidence and instilled some discipline into you, maybe?
Definitely. You know, my father, to give you an idea, when I went to the military in South Africa, it was no longer compulsory, because in the early years in South Africa, every young gentleman, when he finished school, had to go to the military.
Wow.
It was compulsory, non-negotiable. But when I went to the military, it was no longer compulsory. So I actually was already a qualified artisan. Then I resigned from my position and volunteered to go to the military. So my father really didn't support my choices.
Okay.
Because he thought I was throwing away my career and all these things. But truly for me, I think it was probably one of the best decisions that I made in my life.
Really?
Because of the discipline, yes. Not that I was undisciplined.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that the military teaches you is how to keep doing what you need to be doing, even though you don't feel like doing it. And that, I think, has led to a lot of success as well. And I think people discount it very often. They just look at the discipline of, you know, shining your shoes and cleaning taps and scrubbing floors and all these types of things. But what they don't realize is that by doing these things consistently, it's basically teaching you to do the things that you don't want to do.
Yes.
But you need to do it, because it teaches you that discipline, so that one day when you get into a difficult career or a difficult situation, then you are still able to do the things that you need to be doing, even though you don't feel like doing it. Which oftentimes, when you are an entrepreneur and starting a business and doing new things, you know, it's difficult. And if you don't have that commitment level to keep pushing through those difficult times, then you're just not going to make it.
So absolutely.
Yeah, I can say that the military service helped me with that immensely.
That's actually a really good way of looking at it. And even down to physical fitness, I think when it comes to discipline, it's something that we all, every human needs. It was a really, really good point you made there. What brought you to having dreams of becoming a fighter pilot? Where did that come from?
When my brother was in the military, he was in the Air Force. And my brother is the oldest in the family, so he's 13 years older than I am. So when he was doing his military service, he was in the Air Force as working as an aircraft aircraft instrumentation technician.
Okay.
And he was working on the fighter jets that South Africa had at the time. And when I used to visit him when I was, I think I was 10 years old at the time, I went to visit him at the base one time, and he arranged for me to actually be able to sit in a fighter plane and see them taking off and actually fly in a big, what we call an Oryx helicopter, for about an hour and a half over the mountains in South Africa, so, or in that location. And I think that's probably where my love for aviation grew.
Okay.
And it just grew from there, or it started there and it grew from there. I really tried to pursue it after I finished school, and that's how I ended up in the military. And ultimately, I did get my pilot's license outside of the military.
Oh, congratulations.
Because of a whole bunch of budget cuts and politics and stuff in the Defense Force, it was basically told to me twice that it's almost impossible for me to become a fighter pilot in the Defense Force. So I decided to go back to my trade and ended up getting my pilot's license on my own.
That's fantastic. I was actually going to ask, did you pursue it outside of the military? But I've taken flying lessons myself, but I've never, I don't have my license. But well done. That's absolutely fantastic. How did you feel when you were told that you couldn't be, your dreams of becoming a fighter pilot came to an end?
You know, having to hear things like that is never easy. And I think that's probably where the big defining moment comes in every person's life. You know, it's difficult things happen to people all the time. But the difference between successful people and people that are not successful is just the choices that you make, and it's how you respond to those things. So, you know, even though it was heartbreaking at the time, I just didn't see it I didn't see it as the end. I saw it as a difficulty that I needed to overcome, okay? And basically what I said to myself is, okay, so this is not going to happen this way. What other way can I make it happen? So even though I didn't do it in the military, I found an alternative. So I did my pilot license on my own, and I still, even then, though I, due to my car accident and all those things, and again being told that I'm not able to fly anymore, I still don't believe that it's the end. You know, I still believe that I will fly in a fighter jet someday. Maybe not be a fighter pilot myself, but I will have the opportunity to fly in it. And it's just a question of time and you know, figuring out exactly where and when it's going to happen.
Well, that's true. Belief is the most powerful magic anyway. I mean, it's really, you need to have a strong belief in life. Actually, just touching on your accident there, in 2009, you were involved in a fatal head-on collision. How did you come back from such a painful, serious ordeal?
Yeah, I think that was probably the biggest defining moment in my life. You know, because my wife and I were on the way to a spring dance when the accident happened, and we basically never even saw the vehicle coming from the front because we were driving behind another vehicle, and the vehicle coming from the front overtook a big 18-wheeler truck on an area where he should not have overtaken him, and the vehicle in front of us just swerved out of the way, and then he hit us.
Wow.
You know, in essence, I never even saw him coming.
Gosh.
However, I was able to swerve a little bit, but, you know, I got a lot of damage. Most of it was on my side. My wife also got injured. I crushed my right elbow completely, my left knee, injured my liver, my kidneys, my lungs,
my
hamstring, and my kneecap was shattered. So from that, you know, having to get up after that, almost having lost your life, is difficult enough. And then, you know, at the age of, I just turned 28 after the car accident,
gosh,
and I was off from work for about 4 months, And then my company that I worked for basically informed me that they were in the process of declaring me medically unfit.
Oh, because
I could no longer do the work that they employed me for. So, you know, that's also a daunting
Absolutely.
Thing to be left with. If you're 28 years old and you're being told that you will not be able to do the thing that you were trained to do for the rest of your life. So again, you know, I was left with a choice. Was I going to sit and sulk and claim medical disability for the rest of my life, or was I going to change it? You know, what was I going to do? And I basically decided that I'm not just going to sit and do nothing, and I started to get involved with a whole bunch of other stuff. You know, I still worked within the company, even though they were busy declaring me medically unfit. I decided to work within the company in other fields, and I started helping the planners and some of the other people in the company to do their jobs. And very soon I was then used to assist them whenever they went on leave. And then a position opened up in the purchasing department. So I ended up being a commodity buyer, and then very quickly moved to a more senior role in the department where I did imports and project purchasing. And also while doing that, you know, the one thing I think that the accident did for me was to realize that you should never only focus and depend on one source of income.
Yes, very true.
You should always try to have different sources of income.
Absolutely.
So through that, you know, I didn't only look at my career, but I also got involved with network marketing, and I always pursued the idea of businesses and what business can I start part-time that I can later maybe do full-time. But, you know, just building to having multiple sources of income, whether it be from investments, companies, or whatever.
Peter, that's absolutely
my big driving force.
That's absolutely incredible how you made a comeback after that. And can you talk to me a little bit about network marketing? Do you feel that network marketing has a bad name?
It definitely has a bad name, and it's actually very unfortunate, because I think, like so many things, and you know, even today I'm working in the insurance industry, and the insurance industry also has a bad name.
It does.
But the big thing, and I think what people don't understand because of a misconception, you know, they think that they link it with a pyramid scheme of there's always been so many things that happened. But for me, the nice thing about a proper, because there is also a couple of dodgy ones, so I think it's important that you do your research properly and get a good network marketing company. And there are a couple of really good ones out there.
Yes.
But for me, the benefit of joining a network marketing company is that it absolutely helped me tremendously with confidence.
Yes.
It helped me. I can actually say this, that if it was not for network marketing, I would have never become a motivational speaker. I would have never gotten involved in speaking either, or even, you know, become an author.
Really?
Because through the events that I went through with network marketing, you know, there were constantly people that actually want to assist you. They want to guide you. They want to help you. So that's the one thing about network marketing, is there's always so many positive people around that's really trying to help you, which you don't often find in normal business. And the second thing is that because these people really want to help you, they would tend to push you in areas that you don't feel that you are capable, because they see things in you that you don't necessarily see in yourself.
Okay.
So it's a very good place to learn about business principles and business skills without having to go to university to learn all these things and having to go through all the difficulties to learn it yourself.
True. So network marketing obviously led you to become the first Ziglar certified trainer on the continent of Africa. How did it feel knowing that you were the first one?
Yeah, that's quite profound, actually. You know, being a small, shy little boy growing up in a mining village, I never really envisioned that I would even end up in something like this.
It's incredible.
I always said that there's two things I'll never do, and I'll never do sales, and I'll never do public speaking. And those are the two things that I ended up doing. And I always use that, and I said to people, you know, never say never. And that's what you focus on is that which you will be drawing into your life. And just as I drew the motivational speaking and the sales into my life, I also realized that the reason I said that I'll never do it was not because I did not want to do it.
Okay.
But because it scared me.
Yes.
So a lot of times when you don't want to do something, it's not because you don't really want to do it, but because you're afraid of doing it. Because, let's face it, you know, sales is a difficult thing to go into because,
yes,
again, of the bad name that it might have. And public speaking, because you feel like you're on a pedestal, you're on the spot. Everybody's looking at you, everybody's judging you. And because of that fear that you are materializing out of nothing, in essence, it holds you back.
So, absolutely.
For me to actually be the first person to be certified by Ziegler Inc. was incredible. You know, Ziegler had a massive impact in my life. And when I started to get involved with network marketing and started to listen to a lot of motivational speakers like Jim Rohn, Zig Ziegler was one of the big ones that inspired me tremendously. So for me to actually be able to get involved with a company and actually go to Plano in Texas to meet his son Tom and his two daughters, Julie and Cindy, and be certified by the company and be something, part of something so incredible globally is an amazing honor.
That's absolutely incredible. And through the Ziegler Foundation, you've met many inspirational people, and it actually led to you co-authoring the book, Walking with Faith. Can you talk to us a little bit about the book and what we can expect to find in the book itself?
So when I was at Ziegler Inc., there was a gentleman that was working with the company as well. His name is Mike Rodriguez. And you can also check him out. He's quite profound as well. And he ended up being a very good mentor of mine. And Mike was the one that got me involved with authoring, where he told me about this book project that we was going to do. He had already been a very successful author at the time, and he wanted to help a whole bunch of new up-and-coming speakers to actually become authors as well. So we published the book, and each one of us, we were about 10 authors from around the world that had the opportunity to write one chapter in the book. So my chapter that I wrote was about love and the effect of love and how you should use love in leading people. But everybody basically shared a story from their past, from their life, that has impacted them and what they learned from it. So that's why we decided on calling the book Walking with Faith, and subtitle Stories That Inspire, because, you know, it basically talks on a lot of topics, and there's, you know, from people that lost loved ones and sharing their story on how they overcame that to, you know, you name it. There's just,
wow,
it's a wide, a very varied genre, if I can put it that, different types of stories.
It sounds incredible.
And that ultimately then led me to write my other books as well.
That's right, and that's what I was just going to say. You've written Breaking the Zone. The significance of being born is something that I'm really interested in. I'm going to get all of these books after our interview today. But the significance of being born, I imagine, is an incredible piece of literature, because a lot of people don't place enough emphasis on the significance of the fact that they were born. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Absolutely, yeah. So the significance of being born is my latest book. I launched that one, I think it was July 2017.
Okay.
And that one was, for me, it was a question of faith, and I really felt like God was placing it on my heart to write this book.
Wow.
Specifically because there's so many people out there that feel worthless, that feel like they don't belong.
Yeah.
That they just don't have any purpose in being here, so they might be contemplating suicide and all these things. And I really felt a strong urge to talk about these things and to talk about, you know, the value of a life and why you were born, why God decided to create you the way that he did. And, you know, so it's a lot more faith-based.
Okay.
It lies a lot about not the purpose or finding your value in what the world says, but finding your value in faith and in what God says and what you were ultimately created for.
That sounds incredible. I'm sure it's going to be an incredible read, and I'm actually really looking forward to getting it. So the significance of being born, I will give out information after our interview on how people can purchase the book. Finally, Peter, I just want to ask you, what is the vision for the future for you?
My vision for the future is is basically one thing, and it's always been my driving force. And, you know, as I pursue my career in many different things, there's just one thing that drives me, and that is ultimately to make a difference in the world.
That's incredible.
So for me, what I see my purpose and my vision for the future is where I can get involved in, where I can help people, you know, whether it be even to just see their purpose or their value in guiding them that way, or ultimately, you know, that's why I called my company Breaking the Zone as well, which is named after my second book.
Excellent.
It's because I want to help people to get out of their comfort zone. I want to help them to see that they are capable of doing so much more than they believe they are. You know, just because you've been having certain results over the past does not mean that that's all that you are capable of. You know, I believe that people are capable of so much more if they would only just allow themselves to think a little bit bigger. But a lot of times, you know, and my wife and I always talk about this, is that, you know, if you don't know better, how can you do better?
Exactly.
So I think a lot of my purpose is also to teach people that they are actually better, and teach them these better skills and better things, so that if they know better, then they can do better.
Absolutely. So that's all covered in Breaking the Zone, which is another book you have authored as well. And again, I will give out information on your books after the show. Peter, are you publicly speaking at the moment? And if so, how can people see you or contact you?
Yes, I do speak. I do have a couple of events that I create every now and then that I put together.
Okay.
Most of my speaking, though, is within companies. And usually how I do things is, you know, the companies contact me, and then I would go and do an analysis within the company. I would speak to the management and also a couple of key individuals within the company.
Okay.
Just to get an idea and an understanding of what is going on within the company. You know, because to just speak to management, you might be missing something else. So I believe it's important to speak to some of the key individuals within the company, whether they be good or bad influences. Because you get a much better idea of what the issues are within the company.
Yes, that's
and
true.
And then I would address those specific needs that I would identify during the analysis program, and determine what specific training skills or training workshops should be done within the company that can address those issues.
Okay.
So that's the way I usually do it. And then also I've done basic keynote speeches where organizations have contacted me and say, listen, we want you to speak on timekeeping, for example. So I always do just a little bit of a twist, and you know, because I don't want to do things the way that it's always done.
Yeah.
Because then it gets boring and nobody listens anymore. So with regard to the timekeeping one, I put a new twist on it and called it the value of time well spent.
Okay.
And I always just bring it back to your dreams. You know, if you have a dream and you're not chasing it because you're saying you don't have time, then you're lying to yourself.
Gosh, that's
good.
Because
there's always something that's stealing your time. And once you start being truthful to yourself and honest, then you can actually start seeing the successes. So, yeah, I'm actually available for anybody globally. There's actually no limit to where I'm not willing to go, because, as I said, you know, I really want to make a difference. A lot of my clients, I do online coaching as well. So I'm available. You know, people can contact me directly on my email, which is peter@breakingthezone.com. Or they can go to my website, which is breakingthezone.com, and then there's also some other contact details there. And
okay.
Then obviously my social media pages, which is LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Excellent. Well, what I will do, Peter, is after our interview and on our podcast, I will put down links to all of your social media and your website and email address also on the actual podcast itself. Well, Peter, we've just come to the end of our time now, but I just want to say it's been absolutely fantastic speaking with you here on air today. And I'm really looking forward to getting the books, and because I believe that people really do need to be pushed out of their comfort zone. It fear holds so many people back. And I'm so delighted that you agreed to talk to us today, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time, Susan. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter. Have a nice day.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.